Shop early, save big, all month long during Black Friday Build-Up at Lowe's. Right now, get select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at just $59.98. Don't wait to save. Shop these deals today, in-store or online. Because Lowe's knows deals. Discount taken at time of purchase while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
We were just here, girls. We
just here. Nay, 48 hours ago.
Yeah,
48 hours ago. It's been so long since I've seen you guys.
When shall we three meet again? Barely any time has passed. Here we are again. I did just say that we are a wrestling podcast, but tonight, that's only technically will we be a wrestling podcast. As you guys know, we're on vacation during November, so whatever has happened at AEW this week, we don't know anything about it, and you're not going to hear about it tonight. Instead, we have a special topic for you. We just thought, like, what's something that would be fun for us to talk about? Maybe you'll learn a little something about why we say the things we do. So we are going to be talking about some of our favorite rom-coms. We each have made a little list of five rom-coms that we love. So I think we decided these aren't necessarily like top five all time, because I thought there'd be quite a bit. There could potentially be quite a bit of overlap.
I think there's going to be anyways, because the three of us have very similar taste in media and love stories. But I think it'll be fun anyways.
Yeah. I made a list. I narrowed it down to five, but I kept all my contenders on the list, because I was like, if some of these get knocked out by my colleagues, then...
Me too. I've got a top five, and then I've got a backup five, and then I've even got some backups beyond that if necessary. But
okay, overachiever.
Well, they were already in the document, Leah. All I did was not delete them, okay? I went through the Wikipedia of every rom-com ever made, which I think was missing quite a few, honestly. But
the lists you find are really odd, and people on Reddit are out there calling things rom-coms that are neither romantic nor comedic sometimes.
I was also going through lists, and when I scrolled past Dead Poets Society, I was like, society need to get real.
Absolutely crazy to call that a rom-com. There was I think it might be on Rotten Tomatoes, has like a top rom-coms list that I don't know, maybe is, I don't know what it's based on, but actually almost every rom-com on it, every movie on it, I was just like, that should not be here. That has nothing to do with this topic.
It's like, is this just movies you like? What's going on? The crazy thing, too, is that, like, if you don't know a movie's genre going in, like, you won't enjoy the movie. Because it's happened to me twice that, like, I thought I was watching a comedy and it was not a comedy. Once because of Blockbuster and what the box looked like. And once because my family, I think in retrospect, what probably happened is my dad was like, oh, I'll go find a movie for us to watch. And we said, great, get a comedy. And he said, okay. And then he came back with a movie that he claims he never said was a comedy, but he certainly didn't correct us that it was not. So then we watched it waiting for it to get funny the whole time. And it's like the most depressing. It's The Heiress. It's an old movie.
I've never even heard of it.
It's quite old in black and white, and it's not funny at all. And then the credits just roll and you're all like, what the hell was that? Could be a good movie for all I know, but my expectations were not set up correctly.
Do you think it would have been funny if you got to the very end and then one of the characters just said, what's the name of the act? The Aristocats? Aristocrats?
Maybe.
Aristocats would have been even funnier. I also clicked on that Rotten Tomatoes list, and they had like a... They had one in there that, like, literally I've been thinking about nonstop since I saw it, which they recommended as a top rom-com, Meet the Parents. And they were like, it's not romantic, but the rom-com type, like, interactions are between Ben Stiller and Robert De Niro. And
I mean, okay, it's not incorrect, but that's so disturbing. Yeah. That's tunnel-dog-coded. Well, that is, like, Dead Poet Society. Like, who do they think the rom is between?
I know that when I saw it for the first time, I certainly was like, I think there may be tragic love story elements between, there's that redhead who turns out to be evil, but for some reason I was like, I think he may be gay and self-loathing about it, and that's what's happening here. I wouldn't call it a rom-com, and I don't know if I would view it through that lens these days. It's hard to say. I was 11 at the time. It's interesting. I think, honestly, this speaks to, like, a genre issue that I think about sometimes that's just, like, two people can like the same genre for incredibly different reasons. And it sometimes causes, like, confusion when you're discussing a movie. If, like, somebody has different expectations of the genre or enjoys something different about the genre than you do. Because I just can't, if I was like, I want to watch a rom-com and someone put on Meet the Parents because of the rom-com type comedies between Robert De Niro and Ben Stiller,
I would be like, Can you even imagine the social setting? Like, what would happen if someone was like, you want to come over and watch a rom-com, and then they did that? You just, I don't even know. Oh, also, gosh. I think sometimes, like, on these rom-com lists, there are ones where it's like Crazy Rich Asians is on there. Delightful movie. Funny. Yeah. But the couple's together, and there's no conflict between the couple the whole time. So, like,
no.
Yeah.
I agree. It wouldn't scratch the itch for me. Like, I need to watch two people do therapy on themselves in order to have...
Getting together needs to be the driving force.
Yes,
well, it's important that it's equally romantic and comedic, because on the other side, I kept seeing A Walk to Remember on the list.
Ridiculous.
Ladies, what are we doing here?
Yeah. It's like there's a whole different category. It's called romance. And that's
oh my God. That's so crazy.
Yeah, I as I was going through these lists, I was throwing out a lot for not being comedic enough and for not being romantic enough. So,
Now here's my, before we get into it, so we're going to round robin. I would like one of you to go first. Will one of you volunteer?
Sure.
Thank you, Anne. I knew it would be you. I knew it would be you.
You saw Leah get that squirrely look on her face.
I'm baby.
It was like I said, did everyone do their homework? And I know she did do her homework, but she was acting like, no. So we'll start in a second. But I'd love to know, did you, because we were like, I'm just going to do like five rom-coms I love, did you have like, something that you use to guide your choices? Because I think we do all have more favorites than this.
So what criteria I was using? Yeah, I think it has to be, like, funny enough. It definitely has to have, like, the romance is driving. Like, that's the, you know, culmination of the story. So none of the issues we talked about. They also tend to be ones that, like, that I really like to rewatch that I find, like, comforting. So it's, like... not too upsetting, not too, like, I don't know. There's some, actually, even some of my runners-ups where it's like, oh, Bridesmaids was on some list, which is, like, a movie I really like, and it's really funny, but it's not quite, like, romance-driven enough, and it's a bit of a bummer at points, so.
Yeah. I definitely, like, really, really based my ratings on how often I've rewatched them.
Yeah, I did, too.
Over like pure quality, because I don't know, there's something like sometimes a movie is just, it just scratches the itch in your brain, and you need to reward that.
Yeah
Absolutely.
Okay, well, let's get started. Anne, you are hitting us with our very first pick.
Okay, I'll start. These are just, they're not top five of all time, but I did rank them, so I'll start at the bottom of my list. And
perfect,
there's a little wild card I was a little surprised to find there, but Palm Springs, the Andy Samberg time loop one that came out in the pandemic, like, really funny, really charming, like a different two people stuck in a time loop is like a innovation on the genre. Mm-hmm. I find it a very soothing watch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you rewatched it multiple times?
Yeah,
multiple times. I'm going to have to get back in there.
I've watched it multiple times too. They have really good chemistry.
Really good chemistry, yeah.
I tend to think of Andy as kind of dorky in that way, mm-hmm. that like I often am not like really invested in his relationships, but like
they should kiss big time. I know, he really turns it on in that one, because yeah, it's like normally I do not feel romantic lead feelings about Andy Samberg, yeah, and the two of them really like sell that they really get along, which I feel mm-hmm. like is also the trick. Like the ones I tend to like are ones where like they really get to know each other and they like each other as people. Like, While You Were Sleeping is never going to be on my list, because it's like they don't speak until the final scene.
Well, no, but they don't. That's not the one to get together.
Oh, no. Sorry. That one is on my list.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm like, no, stop. Don't slander
me. No, sorry. Sleepless in Seattle.
Sleepless in Seattle is such. I've rewatched it within the past couple years, and I was like, this actually is a great movie. Like, I love every, like, I think it's so interesting. It's fun to watch. It's funny. But I don't actually think of it as a rom-com at all. Like, yeah. I'm just like, it's just a weird, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Is While You Were Sleeping on anybody's list? Can I bring
it? It is on my list. Yeah. Okay. I know then you don't like it, though, I think.
I don't. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I was like, I've never seen that movie because I get so stressed out by the lying.
Oh, you've never seen it?
No. Oh. Like, I've never made it through. I've only made it, like, part of the way through, and I just get so stressed out by the lying that I can't watch it.
Okay, we'll have to circle back. I have some things to say about it. So when we get to it, we'll circle back on it. What was I going to ask? Oh, if I recall correctly, I think we watched Palm Springs together.
We did.
Palm Springs is a rom-com that really understands that rom-coms are about therapy, that they're about people who are fucked up in some way and need to start untangling the knot of their own issues. Like, it's not, mm-hmm. you don't just find someone who fixes you, you find someone who makes you want to fix yourself.
Yeah.
Wow. If you guys, we said that we would lightly check in on this throughout. Can you think of two wrestlers who you would cast in a time loop rom-com?
Who's got the, or one person's been stuck in it for a long time and then they accidentally catch in.
I feel like Jay White would be very fun in the Andy Samberg role, because he would just go like bananas. Like, you could see Jay White like doing weird shit every day. Like that montage of shit that Jay White gets up to. And so it would be kind of funny to make Hangman his.
Hangman would be a good furious, like, you dragged me into this situation, especially right now.
That would be kind of fun. Mm-hmm. That would definitely have a more deranged energy. I mean, they're going to be doing some property damage for a number of cycles. That's fun. I love that. Okay. Leah, you're up.
Okay. So if we are doing like bottom of the list, I think a movie that I think this is kind of weird to rewatch as often as I have rewatched it is The Obvious Child. Has either of you seen that?
Oh, I have, but not for a long time. Yeah.
I don't know why I just like it so much, because it's just such a like weird, interesting way to come at it. And so I've watched it for the first time because this guy I was really close friends with, that I worked with like 10 years ago, was on a very bad first date, and he texted me and he was like, I need you to crash this date because it's going so badly and I cannot be alone with this man anymore. And I was like, where are you? And he was like, I'm going to Coolidge Theater, will you meet us there? And I was like, yeah. And I showed up, and then we watched that movie, which is also a very strange first date movie.
Absolutely insane first date movie.
Yeah. Wow.
But I really like it. I don't know why.
Was his date psyched to see you?
He was bewildered. He was like, oh, so you'll just be joining us. And I was like, I sure am.
Honestly, a little bit of a rom-com scenario.
Yeah, love it.
That one is that one Jenny Slate? And who's that guy?
Is he from True Blood? He's like he's a big lug. You know what I mean?
He's a big lug for sure. Yeah, I've definitely seen him in other stuff, but he's like cute. So nondescript.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for anybody who hasn't seen it, so they hook up, they have a one night stand, and Jenny Slate gets pregnant, and then she tells him, and they like they talk about it. She's trying to figure out what to do, and she has like a goofy like best friend that they're working through, and she ultimately gets the abortion, and he sits with her through it, and then they end up falling in love, and it's like legit, but like it's like a really interesting, like it's one of those cheetah and a golden retriever movies, yeah. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that. That's a good dynamic.
Yeah.
Man.
Wow. What wrestler should get another wrestler pregnant on a one-night stand and have to have an abortion?
Everyone, I'm going to want to see a lot of pregnancies. Is it cheetah and a golden retriever?
Yeah, who do we have that's a good cheetah wrestler?
Like Kyle
a
really... Fletcher and Will Ospreay.
Kyle, in his current condition, if they had a little rage hookup and then he got knocked up, and Will Ospreay's just looking like, whatever you want to do is fine by me. I just wish you'd be my friend again. I just wish you'd love me again. Thank you. Yeah, I'm interesting. I'm listening. Okay. Okay, so I based a lot of this on, like, I've watched this movie so many times. Who could say why? So for me, for my first one, I'm going to go Wimbledon, starring Kirsten Dunst and Paul Bettany.
I don't think I've seen that one.
I haven't either.
Well, it's not an especially good film. they're both tennis pros. He is... like older end of his career. It's going to be his like last Wimbledon. She's the up and coming, like super hot star. And
you love a little tennis romantic movie.
I do. Well, by accident.
I was going to be like, Anne, and you haven't seen this?
I haven't seen it. No.
Oh, Anne, you got to check it out. Well, I don't know how the tennis is, honestly, but the whole, it's about like they, you know, they kind of hit it off and they're having a little sneaky thing. But she's got an overbearing sports parent who doesn't want her messing around. And his tennis is suddenly so good and he's doing so much better than people thought he would be doing. And wow, how could this end up? and it is, I don't know what it is about it. I think it's like they do just have like weirdly good chemistry and... it's a really comforting watch for me. I've seen it. So neither of you have seen it?
No.
No.
No, we should put it on our list.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We'll watch it sometime.
It is so funny when you have a movie that you watch over and over while you're like, this isn't a good movie. I don't, you know, it's just, but it's really working for me.
There was a time in my life where I was watching What Dreams May Come on like a monthly basis, which is a Robin Williams movie that's A, not good, and B, really deeply depressing because it's about
that's a cry
suicide
for help.
In the afterlife.
That's worrying. If you're doing that now, I'd be staging intervention. No,
I watched it. It was on TV at a time where I had like, it was like 2 a.m. and I had a fever. And I was like, this is the greatest movie that I've ever seen in my entire life. And then like, I just kept rewatching it every single time it was on TNT.
There is a certain, like, I watch it when it's on TV that is, like, not fully your responsibility. That's TNT's responsibility.
The kids, don't have that. They don't have that anymore. They don't just watch movies.
They have no one to blame for their problems. I think they're still finding people to blame. I just thought this is why it's so important that we all share different streaming apps so that if you need to, you can just go check and see what your friends have been getting up to. And just like, you know, suss out whether there's any need to sit him down, talk to him, say like, what's going on? Why did you feel the need to put that on? You know?
Well, I do that every time like new TV shows and movies get added to Plex. And I'm like, really, Allie, that's interesting. So you added 25 seasons of Midsummer Murders the past 2 days.
Yeah. I actually just, my friends Anna and Josh are logged into my Plex as well, and I got a text from Josh the other day being like, so you're watching Dr. Odyssey? Because I've seen some ads for it. Looks totally crazy. The joy, the rush of energy that I got from being able to text back like, yes, I watch it every week with my friends. It's insane. A woman's nose fell off and she wore a Phantom of the Opera mask for an entire cruise. And then they started watching Dr. Odyssey and they agreed that it's unhinged.
It's really insane.
Honestly, totally every time you guys say, like, the title of that show, it sounds like a fake show. Like, it 100% sounds like a show on 30 Rock. Oh, well, yeah, Dr. Odyssey.
They had said to me, they were like, but the Joshua Jackson's name isn't, like, he's not Dr. Odyssey. And I was like, no, I don't think so. And then I watched, it, like, the first scene of, I was over at their place the other night, and we just, as I was leaving, we watched that poker scene from episode 4, and they do just call him Dr. Odyssey, and it's like, what is this? I think I'm starting to buy into that theory that it's his COVID fever dream.
Yeah.
Is Odyssey the name of the cruise ship?
Maybe. Who knows?
If it is, that's not information that we've retained.
Okay, Anne, take us with...
All right. While You Were Sleeping, which I accidentally said would never be on my list, but is actually fully on my list. Like, very funny. Great group scenes. Lots of cast. Sandra Bullock and Bill Pullman. Whichever.
Right?
Yeah. I think not so. Paxton. Yeah, Pullman. Yeah. Good right? chemistry. Yeah, it is right.
Okay.
It's got to be right. Paxton's right. the...
Pullman.
Yeah, it's Pullman. Okay.
It's Pullman.
Yeah, and the lion thing doesn't matter. Yeah, it's the one where she has a crush on a guy and saves him on the subway and he's in a coma and someone gets the wrong end of the stick and says she's engaged to him even though she's not, and then she goes along with it so his grandmother doesn't have a heart attack.
The number of, like, fortuitous miscommunications in this film, off the charts. Mm-hmm. I watched it with a group of friends a year or two ago, and my friend Dylan was there, and it was one of the funniest viewing experiences of all time because Dylan just kept saying, like, why would she say that? This doesn't make sense. Like, this isn't – no one would behave that way, and I kept being like, it's a rom-com, okay? Yeah. So, of course, you shouldn't ever do this. Dylan, like, no one would do this if they were in their right minds, but, like, she's really lonely. Like, I think the movie actually does a shockingly good job of getting to a place where you feel so much empathy for that character. And, like,
She's so isolated and she just wants a nice family who wants to have her over for Christmas. And
I believe you guys, but, like, I get so sympathy, like,
yeah,
I get sympathy sick with stress when, a character is got a, like, situation that there's just no clear way out of, and they're gonna it's gonna blow up in their face, and they're gonna have to admit that they were lying all along. I get so upset about that, and I don't know why, but it's, like, the one thing that I'm like, I'm not suspending my belief. She shouldn't have done that.
The next time I see you in person, I'm gonna strap you to a chair, and we'll watch it the whole way through, and then you'll just be able to say you saw the whole thing.
The amount of times that you've said that you're going to strap me to a chair to make me watch a movie that I've refused to watch.
Like, what else? Just Sound of Music, which is crazy that you refused to watch.
Wildly
literally
crazy.
Insane.
Yeah, it's only the best movie.
Between honestly, Julie Andrews and what's-his-face?
Christopher Plummer.
Christopher
Wild.
Plummer.
It's so
unhinged.
Unhinged. That dance scene.
You would love it. I know you would love it.
I don't like musicals. And the fact that this movie is 6.5 hours long is not for me.
No, you are. No. We're just telling you, you just don't know yourself about this. Mm-hmm. You just don't know yourself, okay? Like, no,
honestly, this could be on a list of top rom-coms for me. I mean,
absolutely. It's like parts of it aren't that comedic. They do have to flee the country because of the Nazis. That's not funny, but they love each other. And so that, you know.
Yeah, and parts of it are funny.
Balances it out.
Yeah.
While You Were Sleeping. Oh, yeah. But I think this also is a thing where it's like, I'm not going broad and being like, we don't have movie stars anymore. But, like, the way that Sandra Bullock can sell you on the pathos of a character is really, like, I don't know. She just, like, she had it.
It's a character that could easily slip over the line into, like, pathetic, too. But you just, like, feel so much sympathy and, really.
And Bill Pullman does sell so well. Like, I am so horny I'm going crazy.
Yeah. It is funny to think about those characters later. Like, oh, so how did you guys meet? Like, oh, she was lying and said she was engaged to my brother. Oh, he's in a coma.
That's a funny role, too, for Sandy Cohen, whose actor I can't remember.
Yeah, Peter Gallagher.
Peter Gallagher.
He is really funny in that role, actually.
He is extremely funny, yeah.
Man, who is I guess this doesn't work. All the wrestlers know each other, so.
Yeah.
I don't know who would do that. I really need my list of wrestler names up because I'm like, I can't even think of any of them.
We can just roll it along.
Yeah. Okay, Leah, you ready with pick number two?
My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, so good.
It is.
See, this is one that's off my list because the couple's just together the whole time.
No, they're not.
They get together in the movie and it's quite sweet.
But don't they get together in like the first 10 minutes though. It's like
it's still, but they're not together when it starts.
There's basically no conflict in that movie. I'm sorry.
There's incorrect. Conflict because she's trying to introduce him to the family and I
think they almost break up at one point because
they
like,
do.
Because the family stuff is so fucked.
It isn't the type of format that is, like, my number one rom-com. But I don't object to it being called a rom-com, and I do have the hugest soft spot for it.
I do, too. It's just some, like, warm, like, I don't know. I really enjoy watching, like, and this is going to come up again later, but older people who are trying to, like, figure their lives out, like, coming to it a little.
That's also a fun role for, God, this is not going well for me in terms of remembering actors' names, but Aiden from Sex and the City, who has had quite a few roles where I don't respect him as a person. Like, I'm just like, God, I don't like you. Like, I don't even like him really in Sex and the City. But I recently watched Northern Exposure for the first time and found out that he's in it, and he's so good and funny in that show. If anyone hasn't checked out Northern Exposure, it really holds up.
I keep meaning to watch that one, and
it's so good. It's like I feel kind of like crazy about how much I like it, that actually I slowed down watching it because, you know, it's like I've heard it falls off in the last couple of seasons, and I was just like, I like it too much, like I'm scared. And just today I thought maybe I'll just restart it. And maybe we'll just never have to know what goes on at the end. Okay. Me. It's me turn. It's turn of me. All right. Which of these should we do? Okay. I will go with Big Eden.
Oh, that was on my list, too.
I thought we might have crossover there.
Yeah.
I actually still haven't watched it. You guys
all. Oh, really?
Yeah, I keep meaning to.
Do you have backups, Leah? Do you want me to?
Oh, yeah, I have backups, yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. Yeah, so Big Eden is about, what is he? He's like, works at a gallery? Is he?
Yeah, he's a gallery owner, I think, or works at a gallery, whatever. Yeah, in New York City. And then his grandfather gets sick.
Has like a heart attack or something. So he has to go back to his small town in
Montana, I believe. Yeah.
And he's gay and he has not told anybody. And he's like, just like has, you know, he's got like the fear of returning to the small town. And he meets some old friends and makes some new friends and has the most charming love interest. I am just obsessed with them. They're so sweet. It's just such a sweet movie. And it gave us one of our favorite things to say. Like, did I teach you shit?
Don't you know how beautiful God
Don't
made
you? Know
you?
How beautiful just something God made you.
We have said to Chuck Taylor so many times.
I can't believe that I just randomly the other day found that Photoshop, God knows why we made it, of Dustin Rhodes in full Darth Maul makeup saying, don't you know how beautiful God made it, to Chuck Taylor. It's such a charming movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it, you know, it's just really, it's such a comfort watch for me. I just, like, watch it when I want a little warm bath feeling.
It's another movie about kindness. You're like, you know, there's just a lot of, like, there's a line in the movie that like it genuinely takes me out at the knees every time, where the love interest just says, I just want to make things nice for him. And it's just such a simple like statement. And you're just like, I think I have to go die now. Yeah. Explode.
I know. It really gets you in your heart. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where it's like, there, you know, despite the fact that the children are online saying it's been the worst year for queer media ever, like, y'all don't fucking know what it was like for those of us who grew up feeling like we might be a little gay and we're trying to find a little gay content to view. And the pickings were quite slim and mostly quite dark. Did you ever watch Beautiful Thing?
No.
Mm-mm. We should watch that sometime. I think Caroline has watched it. We should watch that sometime. It actually is not that dark, but I thought of... It wouldn't go on this list because it's, like, not really a comedy, but I was thinking through, like, the, you know, the gay movies from the 90s when I was growing up that actually, like, stuck with me and were beautiful, and that one has such a beautiful ending. It's crazy. Mm-mm. Okay. Great. Anne?
Ooh. Take it away. All right, my next one, Clueless.
Yes.
Classic. Oh, best man. Austin adaptation. So funny. Really holds up, even though it feels like it shouldn't, because it's extremely, like, of a specific time, but...
It really does, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And the chemistry is great. Like, really good romance there.
The moment in time when we were getting all those... teen rom-com remakes of Shakespeare plays, bring it back.
I know.
Bring it back. Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Yeah. And I think translating him into her ex-stepbrother, like, was a good, like, translation of the scenario. And it was a very funny setup. Yeah.
It's one of those movies that has some line readings that just, like, are with me forever. And that, like, oh my God, I'm in love with Josh.
While the fountain goes off. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
It really is. Alicia Silverstone, it's not good that now you're just eating random berries off of bushes and you don't believe in vaccines and et cetera. And one time she did say that thing I really liked about her perfect S-shaped poops. But
wow, I missed that one. Good for her, though.
But she, she really impacted the culture with Clueless.
Yeah.
She really did.
God bless. Okay. Can you think of any wrestlers who would have that dynamic of ex-stepbrother,
like the little shallow teen, and
that would have to be, you need like a faction breakup situation where it's like used to be in a faction together and
you divorce wives, still not
keeps
children.
Coming around. Well, not coming to mind. It's hard to come up with these wrestlers sometimes off the top of your head.
I know, I should have thought them through more, but
no, whatever. It's just our fun bonus episode. You guys can let us know which wrestlers you think would have that dynamic.
Yeah.
I clicked over to the AEW wrestler list that I had open and immediately saw Cole Carter and was like, what's up? Oh, inactive broken arm. Didn't even know that. Wow. Oh, sorry, Cole.
Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a My Lowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals on holiday decor, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards. Because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
But he did undergo successful surgery for it. So that is good. That's good to know. All right. Okay. Leah?
Well, I'm going to pick another one where they get together in the first 2 minutes, but The Princess Bride is, and I am picking that literally for how many times I've seen it and how, like, much the romance has stayed with me, but...
They do get together, but then they don't. Like, it does have, it is about relationship turmoil.
It's so true. And it's Carrie Ells, I don't know how you say his last name, but... It's his perfect role.
Ellis?
Is it? I don't have no idea.
That's what I've always thought, but I don't know that I've
ever heard anyone say it out loud. Yeah.
Yeah.
I associate it so strongly with being on like a youth group bus or something.
I have just like a really funny, strong memory of reading the book, which I love. Wow. And I was in... 6th or 7th grade or something. And I remember like so passionately explaining to my dad, like the concept of the book, which is that, who wrote it? William Golding or something. You know, he wrote it and he wrote it like he's translating it from the, I forget the name of the country, but like, so he keeps having all these author notes that are inserted and I'm like explaining to my dad, like mostly confident that it's fake, but still like with that slight, like, you know, 6th, 7th grade vibe of like, I think I'm right about, I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. Where I'm like, it's so funny because it's not really a book that he's translating.
There are so many things like that. Like, I remember, like, reading The Pushcart War and being young enough that I was like, I think this is factual. It was such a good book. And I feel like the Great Brain books also. Like, I was like, I think these are a true story. And then I was like, no, they're not. But they're great books.
I didn't know that we were in that we had The Great Brain and The Pushcart War.
I don't think we've ever talked about, The Great Brain.
I loved The Great Brain. Wow, I'm going to have to go look at some of those tonight. I
haven't thought about those.
It was in Utah.
It was in Utah, but they weren't Mormons. They were like Swedish immigrants because his brother's name is crazy. Yeah.
And that's how I learned about using soap to make a copy of a key.
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of things in those books that you kind of like tuck away. Like,
I can't say I ever ended up doing it, but I learned a couple of little tricks. I love The Princess Bride. Great.
It's a great movie.
No notes.
Perfect.
And can you think of who would be a Buttercup and who would be a... Why can't I think of his name right now?
Dread Pirate Wesley. Roberts.
Wesley.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I could see a lot of wrestlers doing the Dread Pirate Roberts thing. Like, Chuck Taylor would love to. Kenny Omega would love to.
This is kind of, you know what, the other week when we were talking about, like, why isn't anyone doing, getting catfished in wrestling? And, like, we were talking about, like, holograms should turn out to be someone we know. That would be a funny, like, to do the Dread Pirate Roberts in wrestling.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And have different... wrestlers take up the mantle of the gimmick like go in and out. That would be quite fun.
Really, I feel like some luchadors do that? Too. I feel like in the Dralistico family, like I feel like their dad was somebody and then they all had that identity for a while. Anyway, it's all very confusing if you...
Someone's about to get stoned for knowing a little too much.
No.
Watch
that be wrong.
I'm willing to onboard it, and I'll believe it from now on. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
It's all you.
Okay. I am going to go with Imagine Me and You. Has anyone else seen this one?
No.
I have, but not in a very, very long time. Is that lesbians? Oh, wait.
Yes. It's the... The plot,
it's not Miranda July, is it?
No. The plot is there's it's like a woman who is, she gets married at the beginning of the movie to Matthew Good, I think. And it's like quite sweet. And she has the woman who's doing her flowers. They have a little like, you know, they've got a spark. They've got a certain something. And she befriends her after the wedding. And the florist is gay. And then... it's a whole thing where it's like the first woman, the woman who got married, like, does not understand for quite a while that she is having gay feelings. And it's just like, I don't know. I really imprinted on it at a formative age, and it's such a sweet movie. And she has, it's another one where it has a line where she's just the way that she says it. I think about it all the time when I'm, you know, watching romances. It's just like such a good, she just goes like, I went crazy for someone and it wasn't you. And it's like, it really takes you out of the
knees.
Yeah,
that's a good line. Oh,
nice. It's so good.
For a moment, I thought you were making a really controversial choice because when you first said it, I thought you were talking about that movie that was about like Daenerys dating like a guy in a wheelchair, and all the disability rights people were like offensive. Me Before You.
Me Before You. Yeah. No, I've never moment, even seen that one.
When you said
one.
It, I was like, oh shit, I think that movie got canceled, Dally. I think everybody said it was mega offensive.
I don't think that Imagine Me and You has been canceled, to the best of my knowledge. So
what wrestler do you think would
But it does
have, gotten...
have it does have a Game of Thrones. Lena Headey is the Forest, and she's such an insane hunk. Lena Headey, however you say it.
What wrestler do you think is going to get married to the wrong person?
It has to be. The thing is, it's like it has to be. She is kind of has golden retriever energy a little bit. So it's like it has to be someone who like just wouldn't think that their life isn't quite right until they were super forced to confront it. You know what I mean? Like, it would have to be like looking at, I have the list of factions here for another game we're going to play. I don't know. Like Dante Martin. Yeah, I really am not sure. But who would be a florist? I can't think of a single wrestler who has the aesthetics for that.
I wish I did have an answer for that. And I was like, oh my God.
Willow, Satnam maybe.
Singh has huge florist energy.
I would actually, now, I'm not. I don't think this fully works, but I did just think if you did this with Willow Nightingale getting married and Chris as the florist.
Oh, I love that.
That'd be cute.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we on? We're on four, right? Anne?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So You've Got Mail is my next one.
Classic.
Beautifully written, such funny lines. All the people are so specific in it. Like, even the wrong people that they're with initially are, like,
they're so
perfectly
funny.
Drawn.
Every single interaction with that boyfriend and his typewriter.
It's so funny.
It's unparalleled. I mean, this is why initially we were going to do top five rom-coms, as I said earlier. And then we were like, no, five that we love. And it was for reasons like this, where I'm like, of course You've Got Mail would be in my top five because Nora Ephron was a fucking genius.
Yeah.
I'm worried that people don't appreciate how good... Mm-hmm. These scripts are.
I know.
Yeah. It's crazy when you watch one because you're like, so many movies are so mediocre and she's out there writing lines about like, a bouquet of sharply fresh pencils and like, just, there's just great stuff in there that's just like delightful about New York and the typewriter stuff.
It's so good. Parker Posey is so funny in it.
Yeah. And you can see how both of their previous girlfriend boyfriends are like kind of you can see why they're with them, but it's also like they're not right, like they need to move away from the extremes there.
I think it's a pretty hard balance in a lot of rom-coms where there's like as we call them Joshes, but there's like a someone is with someone who isn't right for them. It's hard to write that character in a way where like there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you're like, I hope that person finds happiness somewhere else. This is not going to be it. And Nora Ephron did just nail it.
Yeah. Like, and it doesn't make your main character seem like stupid or like, crazy. Yeah.
Total, or mean. Like, they're not, it's like you are just like, you are two people who cannot be together in the long run. And it's good that you're going to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, she's just a genius. Yeah. Okay, Leah?
My best friend's wedding is what I... God.
No, I just suddenly thought, I was like, we didn't talk about the wrestlers, which is fine. But as we were moving on, I was like, it would have to be someone in the family business. I guess Hook. I guess Hook is... Hook is Tom,
Taz is his
Tom Hanks, and Taz is his dad.
And Hook has all these little, a little uncle and little sister,
and
that
Taz
are
is living on
five
a
and
boat,
six.
I think.
I think so. Yeah.
Tom Hanks is someone's living on a boat.
I think they're both on the boat at one point. Yeah.
Wow. And so I guess that makes Christian Cage Meg Ryan.
It would work if you cut to last year and used JB, like.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. That's interesting.
Because they had the antagonistic relationship that could go, could turn the other way.
Could turn the other way on a dime. Okay, Leah, I'm sorry I cut you off. Please continue.
My best friend's wedding, which I really love, although it is also, like, not really the most romantic comedy. The thing is that, like, there were things that I was going to pick that I was like, but we all would pick that. And
yeah,
it's like very clear. So I didn't pick it, but I've seen My Best Friend's Wedding a lot of times. I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with all of the relationships in it. And I'm so obsessed with how it ends. Like, I just think it's like such a weird movie, but also like, and I think I just really like movies where the director loves the characters, like, even though they're imperfect and like not don't make the right choices, they're still like full human beings that are.
This is
that
really
one's such
funny.
A good like takedown of big romantic gestures in a way that I enjoy. Like, it's a really clever movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is the one that I've never seen. I've never watched it. Yeah.
You'll love to learn that they have this pact that if neither of them are married by a certain age, they'll get married. The age is 27. And he's marrying a 20-year-old who's dropping out of college. So it was a different time, 1996. Like, wild.
27?
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, when they're too old.
When they're wizened.
Yeah, withered up old hags at 27. Is Rupert Everett in that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I
love him.
He's great in it.
Well, maybe
there's a great scene in a restaurant where they all have a sing-along with, like, lobster claws. Yeah. It's incredible.
My friends and I play a game sometimes called Scenes where, like, everyone logs into the – whoever's TV it is, you log into the YouTube app and everybody can keep adding, videos to a queue so everyone's forced to watch. And, like, you have to keep it 3 minutes or under. And that scene, the singing scene, is one that I add all the time because I think it's so funny. The twins in that, so perfect.
So funny. It's a great
maybe
scene.
When I eventually strap you to the chair and make you watch Sound of Music and While You Were Sleeping, then we can watch
that. Will be
My
the
Best
Chaser.
Yeah, because I feel like that's a movie that, like, I know that I didn't watch it when I was younger because I was like, it subverts the tropes in a way that I was like, that's not what I'm watching a rom-com for. Is that right?
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Well, it's,
but now
it's
I'm
hard.
Like, I'm older now. Right. I'm interested in that now.
It is. But it's a hard movie. The reason why it's like I've never wrecked it is because if somebody comes to you and says, let's watch a movie, I'm in the mood for a rom-com, like, they would have the right to stab you. If
they'd be
you
mad.
Were like,
yeah.
Let's watch that. So you have to be in a specific mood where you're in the mood to watch, like, a 90s romance, but know that it is a rom-com, but it's also not a rom-com at the same time.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in my older and wiser stage of life where I'm ready for that.
You're 27 now, so yeah.
20. And I'm actually a little older than 27.
Even more wizened than 27.
And I'm not married.
Is that possible? So. Did you not make a pact?
I didn't. That was foolish of me not to realize that 27 was really what I should have
aimed
for
limit.
There.
Yeah.
Okay, for me, number four, I'm going to go The Cutting Edge.
Nice.
A true fucking classic. If you have not seen The Cutting Edge, run, don't walk. The plot is we have a, we've got a stuck up, prissy, ice skating princess. She skates pairs, but she she drives away a lot of her
due to her personality.
To her personality, which is really bad. And then you have a hockey player who sustains a really bad injury, and he doesn't have the, like, what is the situation? It's like he doesn't have the peripheral vision required to play hockey or something.
I think that's right. Yeah, I was kind of like, what injury means you can't play hockey, but you can figure skate? And I don't know that it holds up, but
I actually think that if someone was going to be, like, throwing me around while figure skating, I might want them to have peripheral vision.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of important, actually,
Whatever, it doesn't matter. Basically, she's driven off every potential partner. He gets recruited to be her partner. Wow, they have a lot to unpack about themselves, to learn about themselves in order to forge a healthy, romantic, and athletic partnership. And
wow, like wrestling in a way.
What? Like wrestling. Actually, would I love this plot line in wrestling? Yes, I would. I want someone to have a manager who's like, you need to, and they're managing someone where they're like, I'm sorry, you need to be doing tag team wrestling. You're not going to be a singles wrestler. We have to.
Your personality keeps driving people away.
This is, as we say it, I'm like, that's actually so erotic. Why have I never seen it?
I know. Wow.
I don't know who it would be, but.
No, but.
Actually, I did just think, unfortunately, it probably would be MJF.
Your personality is terrible.
MJF hires, he recruits
someone from college football or something.
Yeah. Well, I think you'd have to give him a man, you'd have to make him, like, hire new representation who's, like, kind of bullying him about this and being like, they're not giving you another run at the singles, like, titles. Like, you need to get a partner, and then we can get you those tag team belts. And so then they start doing tryouts, and we could do no one's going to like to hear. It's like, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine, guys. It's not going to happen. But, like, they start, you know, he's trying out different guys, and he keeps fucking up the tryouts because he's so mean to them, and he's toe-picking that. Toe-pick. And then he gets, I don't know who they recruit.
Adam Cole. I did just think, are we reinventing Burchacho's?
No, I think it actually, if he had never met, like, Wardlow, they hadn't had a whole storyline, Wardlow would have been a good guy for this.
I could see that.
You just need, like, men who are so big. Big, bulky boys. Some of the biggest ones I would get for sure.
Brian Cage.
Oh, my God. Okay. Brian Cage has lost his peripheral vision. Oh, my gosh. Well, honestly.
Maybe this is, like, two singles guys that get injured and they're going to need to tag wrestle now because, like, they can't hold up to singles one. And Tony Khan's, like the acclaimed. He's putting two guys together and he's, make it work.
That is, Tony Khan does kind of fit that, like, rich dad, you know, character. Not really at all, but we can make it work. I love that. It is a great movie. I really highly recommend it. It's just, you know. It's a joy to watch. And she's such a bitch. Like, it's so good. They just go all in on it in a way where it's like, I feel like you do actually really empathize with her. They set up the circumstances of her life such that it's like, yeah, she does have everything, but yeah, you can still see the ways in which, like, she is really, really hurt and fucked up inside from her life. And he helps her figure that out.
Yeah.
So good.
That's what MJF needs.
Somebody just has to help him heal.
He just needs a large man to be patient.
Okay. And number five.
Ooh, fifth choice. Okay. His Girl Friday.
Yes,
classic.
So good.
Screwball comedy. Cary Grant. This movie is so funny and just perfect. Like, hits every beat, holds up so well for being so old. Like, fast talking.
So nonstop. I started, I was rewatching it, I think just a couple months ago. And I was like, anytime you watch an old movie not all old movies, but like good ones, you're just like, wow, they are not babying you about this. Mm-hmm. Like, they just get you into the situation. Like, you find out stuff from really great naturalistic dialogue. Like, you're in the moment of crisis right away. Like,
that's right. Yeah.
I don't know. It just is so good.
Yeah. And like a comedy of remarriage. Like, oh, that's the stuff. Like, they knew each other and, you know, what tension.
Absolutely delightful. I was looking, mm-hmm. there were a number of like older movies that I was like, this, you know, this is really high on my list. I don't rewatch it as much because it's not such a like background comfort watch type of deal, but like Bringing Up Baby, mm-hmm. It Happened Philadelphia One Night, Story. The Philadelphia Story. They just are so well written and charming and funny, and they manage to communicate so quickly. Like, these two people have an insane chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Incredible.
Movies are too slow now. They are spending too much time on stuff they shouldn't be spending time on, and they treat you like an idiot. It's not true. To sound old. Who should have a comedy of remarriage at AEW? Which tag teams have already broken up?
Best friends.
Okay, imagining Dustin and Greg in His Girl Friday.
I know, just like,
it ain't checking out, baby.
They are doing a lot of bickering, though, you know?
It's true. Oh, man. Yeah.
Kenny and Hangman.
Kenny and Hangman. I did think Ricky Starks and Will. Ricky doesn't go here anymore, and I wouldn't want to see it, but it's not nothing. Okay, Leah, choice number 5.
Moonstruck.
Moonstruck, baby. That's my number one, too. So I'm going to replace it with the other one that I know we all wanted to put on there. Tell us about Moonstruck.
It is insane.
It's perfect.
Every line in it is just lights me up. And it's like, I think people have said that like it's a movie, but it's also just like an opera. But it's also so funny. There's just so many like perfect moments in it.
It is truly one of the best movies ever made. Mm-hmm. If you've never seen it, it stars Cher and Nicolas Cage. Mm-hmm. Cher is probably 27.
She's actually basically in her late 30s, like she's
I remember. Okay, great. She's in her
like
late 37
30s. Or something, yeah.
She's from an Italian American family in New York. She lives with her parents. Oh my God, what happens at the beginning of this movie? She gets engaged to, she's dating this guy who's just kind of a, you know,
schlub.
They get engaged in the funniest scene ever. He has to go to Italy because his mother is dying. And he's like, while I'm gone, I want you to go see my brother who I'm estranged from. And I want you to invite him to the wedding. He has to come to our wedding. And she's like, okay, I will do it. And she doesn't love the man she's engaged to, but she's practical. She's pragmatic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she goes to meet his brother. The brother is Nicolas Cage. It's one of the most iconic scenes of all time. I mean, it's...
I can recite most of that scene. It's just beat for beat. Perfect.
I know. I lost my hand. I lost my bride. Johnny has his hand.
Johnny has his bride.
What do you think I should, like, wrap my, well, whatever.
I ain't no monument to justice.
I ain't no monument to justice. This man. I am in love with this man. But he will never know this.
My favorite bit that you do is sometimes you'll just post a screenshot of Chrissy from that scene and it doesn't have text on it and you don't say anything else and we're just supposed to understand that you say, I love this man. He's the most, what is it? He's the
tortured
most
man
tortured
I've ever
man
known.
I've ever seen.
It's so, it's so good. There's so many other things going on in the movie too. Like Olympia Dukakis plays Cher's mom. She's having a whole thing with her husband. He's having a whole, like, there's all this, like, it's just so intertwined and it is so operatic in a purposeful way because, like, a lot of the movie is about the opera. Oh my God. What does he say in that scene where it's like starting to snow, like life isn't why can't I think of it in this moment?
Love it. It's not the way we thought. It's not fairy tales. Oh my God, why can't it,
like, neither of us can think of it. We both, this has been my favorite movie for, I don't know, 15, 20 years at this point. It's so, I know I sound crazy.
Loretta, I love you. Not like they told you love is, and I didn't know this either. But love don't make things nice. It ruins everything.
It ruins everything.
It breaks your heart. It makes things a mess. We aren't here to make things perfect. The snowflakes are perfect. The stars are perfect. Not us. Not us. We are here to ruin ourselves and to break our hearts and to love the wrong people and to die. Storybooks are bullshit. Now I want you to come upstairs with me and get in my bed.
God damn it. And that who that it's that's it's the script is by John Patrick Shanley. It is absolutely a work of the script of Moonstruck is a work of genius.
Yeah.
He also wrote Doubt, a work of genius. He also wrote, what is it called? Tell It to the Bees?
The Bee Movie? Yeah.
Wild Rotten Time.
He wrote Jerry Seinfeld's The Bee Movie. He wrote, we watched one of his more recent works recently, and it is just like, wow, dude, what is happening here? This is crazy.
And I was like, they let you make this? But apparently it was a really popular play that is long running that people saw and enjoyed, but I gotta tell you, the movie that I saw was crazy.
I actually can see how, as a play, it would be so much more enjoyable than the movie in which the whole thing takes place in Ireland and they hired so many actors who were trying to do an Irish accent and couldn't, which was not ideal for a plot that was already asking you to kind of suspend your disbelief in a not dissimilar way to Moonstruck.
Yeah.
He wrote and directed it, so that's all on him.
I think maybe we shouldn't let him direct. We should just stick to the writing.
You know what else he wrote that I only found out about recently, even though I love this movie? And in fact, I think we've discussed it on this podcast several times, the movie We're Back with the Dinosaurs.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. I didn't know that
until I rewatched it recently because one of my friends had never seen it. And I think she saw like a trailer for it by accident and was like, what is this movie about? And I was like, there's no way that I can describe to you what this movie is about. We just have to watch it. And then we watched it and I hit the end credits and it was like written by John Patrick Shanley. And I was like, that makes a lot of sense to me.
I think he may be truly one of our greatest minds. Yeah. And sometimes in a good way, but sometimes less so.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Go watch Moonstruck. It's perfect.
Perfect.
Absolutely you won't regret perfect. It. Okay, and then that was going to be my top one as well, but I'll replace it with one I don't think anyone's going to disagree with. It's When Harry Met Sally.
That was my other one. If you got to Moonstruck before I did, I was going to go with When Harry Met Sally.
You can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong.
There is a reason it is one of the best loved rom-coms. Nora Ephron just knew how to write.
And that's another movie that every side character is so perfect too. Like they have their own stuff going on and it feels real and interesting and you're not like there's times where side character stuff I'm like, can you get out of the way and let me get back to this main storyline? But like When Harry Met Sally, I love everybody.
The Carrie Fisher character, mm-hmm. that whole like first half of the movie where she keeps repeating the like,
you're right.
Like,
I know you're
right. I know you're right. I know you're right.
He's never gonna leave her.
He's never gonna leave her. It's so good. It's like, man, all of Meg Ryan's hairstyles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's perfect. I don't know who we would cast in that.
I'm Cope and Christian.
Oh, I'm listening. I like that.
Well, I'm happy. I love it. Maybe, do you think that, do you think you could translate, so that this, obviously the central conceit of When Harry Met Sally, or the central question is this, like, can a man and a woman be friends? Do you think you could turn it into, can a face and a heel be friends? Is that the way to translate it?
Interesting. I'd be interested also if it was structured around the question, can two men be friends? I think that's an open question as well.
You're right. It is actually a question that society hasn't answered to my satisfaction.
No.
Oh my gosh. Cool. Well, does anyone have anything they left on the cutting room floor that you just want to say real quick, some of the other ones you considered? I will say.
No, but perusing lists, I like saw some movies where I was like, oh, I like that movie. I forgot it was a thing. Like I should, you know, rewatch it. So that was exciting.
Yeah, I had that too. I actually, before this recording session, I was like, you know, a movie that rom-com I've watched a lot. Weirdly, that I don't think is very good is Serendipity, starring John Cusack and Kate Beckinsale. And I started rewatching it, and I'm sure I will continue to rewatch it fairly regularly for the rest of my life. It does not make a ton of sense.
No.
Compels me, though. Jeremy Piven is in it. That's really not a recommendation. Right. Yeah, he plays the best friend.
I saw that movie in the theater.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about rom-coms or wrestling before we sign off and go back to vacation?
I think that more wrestlers should be assigned some of these movies as like homework and like they need to watch it and then come back and tell us what they thought the movie was about and then like how it could apply to their like how they think about stories.
Right. Yeah. Can you think of a storyline you could do that would play with some of these themes?
Exactly.
What were some of the main tensions of the film? Do you think they translate to wrestling at all? Just do a little book club type set of questions for the wrestlers.
That's what I want.
I'd love
it. Okay. Well, we'll pitch that to Tony Khan in our weekly email that he sends straight to his spam folder. On that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Krorkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We have merch now. You can find it at chop-tees.com. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out some of the other great podcasts on the network. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord, where we hang out and just goof it up. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty. We won't be back next week, so you can't come back next week. But come back the next time you see us on the feed. And we'll be back for the Connie.
We'll be back eventually.
One day we'll be back. Love you. Bye.